The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Although Bruce Humphries has his roots in punk music, the punk-style rockabilly country music quickly became his genre of choice, eventually opening for such bands as the Brian Setzer Orchestra, Hassel Adams, and Hank Thompson, just to name a few. After deciding to pursue full-time music a little later in life, Bruce is excited to join us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his career and his latest album, Live It Up.
Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Good morning.
Thanks for jumping on with us here today. I look forward to getting to know you better and know about all your cool music you've been making. Where are we talking to you from presently?
I am presently in the suburbs of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay. Is that home? Home base?
It's home for now, yeah. We've been here for about 12 years.
Okay.
We've moved all over the U.S., so we're here now, for now, so we'll see. Never know what happens.
Yeah, sure.
With the job market, so.
What do you do outside of playing music?
I teach guitar lessons.
Cool.
I used to teach college art.
Oh.
But I walked away from that a few years ago.
Okay.
To pursue music.
Yeah.
So very focus good. On one thing.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. Where did you grow up in that area, in that region of the United States?
No, I grew up in a small town south of Indianapolis called Columbus, Indiana.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then went to school in Kentucky and Kansas and moved to Texas and Tennessee and Pennsylvania. So kind of all over.
Did you go to school to be an educator?
I don't really know what the heck I was going to school for at the time.
I'm with
but
you.
Yeah, my... Yeah, my intention changed to focusing on trying to teach full time.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a long story, but teaching gigs are hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
I could teach part time, be an adjunct instructor, and I'm just like, how long am I going to do that? Do I want to be 60 years old and still an adjunct instructor? Yeah, music was my probably my true passion all along.
Cool.
Never thought that I could actually pursue it.
Yeah.
So I never did. But I was always playing music on the side, and it just made sense to be like, all right, I'm over 50. I better do this if I'm going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Who knows how long I can do it for.
Right, sure. When was there an experience that you remember when that woke up for you inside that was something that you were passionate about that got you excited, when you were younger? Do you remember a season when that happened?
I don't really know. I know that, I was probably in the middle of a semester teaching and not really connecting with the students like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Turning 50, I was probably reflecting back on my life, and once I started kind of focusing on music, I needed to write up a bio. I was thinking about all the times that I was going to school or I was teaching, but I was also playing in a band or trying to make music somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it was kind of interesting just to kind of look back at my life and kind of explore what I was doing and why I chose certain paths.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was just, that middle age crisis, kind of like, what the heck am I going to do? What should I have done?
Mm-hmm.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
I hear you. Yeah. So this was something that was something that got you excited even as a young kid, though. You were involved. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I started playing drums and was awful at that, and didn't want to be back in the back. I wanted to be up front, be seen up on the stage. Mm, so
mm-hmm.
I ditched the drums and started playing guitar, or at least trying to play guitar, and had multiple bands since high school. Some good, some, well, most not good, but yeah, it seems like it's really kind of turned around, in my older years that, things started really picking up and, had a good response. So
you've been pursuing this full time as much as that you can professionally. This has been what, a 10-year journey for you most recently, or not that long?
This band has been together. I started it in 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And we're mostly original. I mean, when we play 3-4 hour shows, we have to throw in some of the classic, Sun mm-hmm. Records, mm-hmm. early rock and roll, rockabilly stuff. But most of it's original, and that's what's awesome about, you know, the response I'm getting up here is there's a lot of cover bands, and cover bands are where all the money's at, and that's what tends to get booked through the booking agents that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're taking a chance on my little rock and roll original rock and roll rockabilly band is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So how did that become the style that you migrated to, the rockabilly? I love that. I noticed that you've got a little history with Brian Setzer and his band, and we've had a chance to interview him, and Slim Jim, we had him actually on the cover here a year and a half or 2 years ago as part of that whole kind of seems to be a rockabilly, yeah. A little bit of a reunion resurgence kind of coming back. How did that whole scene become the thing that you migrated to?
Yeah, sure. That was one of the interesting things when I was looking back at my childhood. So when I was really young, and this would have been like mid-70s, early mm-hmm. 70s, I was really into the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
and I was really into I was into the Beatles, and I got into new wave and punk rock, and then around the mid early 80s is when the MTV and all that kind of the resurgence, another resurgence of rockabilly with the Stray Cats. And I saw them on TV, on MTV, and I really liked them. I got their album. And it was like, yeah, it's okay. And then I saw them live, and it was just a life-changing experience for me.
Yeah.
And I think I'd been collecting like swing records from the thrift stores. So I was kind of already liking that swing kind of thing, but the Stray Cats really opened it up, and then I discovered other bands like the Polecats and the Rock Cats,
mm-hmm.
And just loved that music. And I was still playing punk rock stuff in my bands, but sometime in the early 90s I decided to start a rockabilly band, and that's what I've been playing since. But my music, the stuff that I write, it's infused with rockabilly influences, punk influences, old school country.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of runs the gamut. We're not a true, three piece rockabilly band. We have a lot of rockabilly influence, but we're definitely more kind of that rock and roll.
You mentioned that predominantly originals. Is it as a songwriter, do you sit down to write a rockabilly song, or do you write a song and adapt it to the rockabilly beat and rhythm?
That's a good question. It's songwriting's weird for me. It's because I'm not sure how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit down and it comes out. And it tends to have that rockabilly, old school country influence to it, no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't necessarily sit down and be like, all right, this has to be a rockabilly band or a rockabilly song or what. It just kind of happens, and I try to just kind of go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few years ago, I tried to stop analyzing what I was doing because, well, I called it analyzing because I became so anal about what I was doing. And so I couldn't do anything. It's like, I got to write better lyrics. And then I couldn't write lyrics. And so it was just kind of like, just put it down the paper and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do some adjusting, but if I analyze it too much, it tends to kind of, stop me in my tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just kind of the style I've for a long time. I used to write some punk stuff and some more alternative rock stuff, but I haven't done that in a long time.
I was looking at your list of shows, and I noticed it looked like that you occasionally do some solo things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel come out different? I mean, as a rockabilly fan, I realize that there's a, it's a pretty simple instrumentation to what you guys do. It's, guitar, sure, maybe two, bass and drums. It's not a,
right,
not a big full band sound. That's how you get that unique sound. Can you capture that as a soloist?
I can on some songs, but not on a lot of the songs,
mm-hmm,
that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do solos, I try to play some more of my slower original stuff that might be considered more country-ish. Mm-hmm. Slow songs isn't something I've ever felt really comfortable writing.
Mm.
In fact, I really hadn't written anything slow until probably within the past five years.
Mm.
Just because it wasn't, I just have always been kind of that, full throttle punk kid.
Yeah.
That wants to rock. But what happened is I started having all these songs that were kind of the same tempo. I was like, I got to mix it up and I got to get outside my comfort zone and write some more slower stuff. So,
mm-hmm,
so when I do solo things, I mean, I'll still play Buddy Holly. In fact, I probably play more cover songs when I'm doing solo than when we do the full band, because we just haven't had time to work them up in the full band.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll still do Buddy Holly and Charlie Rich and some Johnny Cash. It just won't be as fancy as, a full band.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just strip it down, simplify it even more. And, I mean, Hank Williams Sr. is a good one to
sure
do.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of the kind of demographic that migrates to what you guys do? Is there a true rockabilly alternative country fan base that's really following this?
Well, we played an event last night that had a bike night, so a lot of people ride their Harley Davidson motorcycles out and hang out and drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our main demographics.
Mm.
Beer, Milwaukee and beer go together.
Yeah.
I don't drink beer, but from what I understand, they drink a lot of beer up here.
Yeah.
So we're playing a Harley Davidson event again this Saturday. We played the Harley Davidson Museum, the dealerships and the corporate headquarters are up here in Milwaukee.
Okay.
For those that don't know. So the Harley crowd is pretty big up here.
Mm-hmm.
Older generation.
Sure.
I've started playing some retirement homes lately with my solo thing. And I just did one on Saturday and, played some Elvis on the ukulele and some Hank Sr. And, so that's been a whole lot of fun to do. And plus it's like a 12-to-1 in the afternoon gig so I can be home for my nap and
yeah.
for my early dinner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But
well, there's a lot of people still in that age group that are very, very active and contribute to the world. You know,
absolutely, yeah.
Gen Xers are the I'm in my late 50s and I'm on the tail end of the Gen Xers, and or yep. the baby boomers, and so then you've got the early years of the Gen Xers all in the 40 to 65 range. So it's a great demographic to find your music being popular in.
Yeah.
So you guys have a new record out, right? Is this is your third, fourth?
This is actually our second.
Second, okay.
As the Rockabilly Rebels. So our first one came out in 2019, November of 2019. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and we had to shut down. But perfect time to release an album is a few months before the pandemic.
you and probably every other band out there. Everybody has their own unique experience of that, but I think everybody got caught in that in one way or another.
The second one, the CD is in our hands. Well, the vinyl just came in last week, and I've got 3 songs on Spotify and all the streaming things. But the full album won't be on there for a while. We're just releasing singles right now.
And it's called Live It Up, is that right?
Live It Up.
Yeah, that's a good rockabilly title.
Yeah.
I like that. And so do you have a supporting tour? Do you have kind of standing gigs? What does it look like for you to get this music out and share it with your fan base?
We just have been taking advantage of the festival season up here in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. There are so many festivals. Fairs, state fair, county fairs, so many outdoor events where music is at, and so we're in a really good spot to play.
Yeah,
multiple times during a week and actually make decent money and make a small living at it. So right now we're just focusing on getting the exposure. Out. We just got a review out of France and one out of England. We're just kind of seeing where it takes us. I got to figure out what that next step, that next level is.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't mind having some kind of a manager or an agent that can help promote us and get us, you know. I'd like to do a short tour.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a long tour, but
So presently you're regional in where your base is as far as
right.
getting out.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
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 Yep.
And yeah, so I think I'm hearing long-term goal for this would be to take the band national and really give it the old 1-2 one time.
Yeah, I want to see how far I can make this thing go. We're trying to get out of the regional thing, go national. You know, I don't know how realistic that is.
Uh-huh.
But why not try it?
Sure.
And say that I tried.
That's right.
Live it up and try to make it happen.
How far ahead are you putting the next stage together, the next album? How far out are you thinking new music and you know, what are you going to be doing next spring and next summer kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah, well, we're already booking out for next year. So up here in Milwaukee, it gets really, really cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So things tend to kind of shut down. And that's when we tend to record. And my goal is to record a solo album using a variety of different musicians up here.
Hmm.
And doing some more of those slower, more countrified songs that I've been writing.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of exploring that while, but the other side of me, I don't want to stop booking because of the cold,
mm-hmm.
because we have a new album out. So I would like to be able to still be playing throughout the winter, whether it's corporate events or, just in a bar in a deep freeze, you know, people get out. And,
yeah, sure.
You know, from time to time. So, so that's kind of what, you know, I'm already starting to think about the recording process.
Yeah.
This one took a year and a half for me to mix and get ready. And a lot of that was because of the learning curve of learning the software. But I found that I really enjoyed that process and just, you know, building sounds to create.
Yeah, that's cool.
A song, yeah.
So it's Brian Humphries and the Rockabilly Rebels. Bruce Humphries.
Sorry, but you can call me Brian. I mean, people have before.
Well, Brian Setzer, Bruce Humphries. Yeah, you know, totally, it's kind of totally, one of totally. The same, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, I wish.
Bruce Humphries and the Rockabilly Rebels. The album is "Live It Up." And how can folks find you? How do you like to communicate with your fan base? Where can they start listening to the singles and get in line for the record when it comes out?
Sure. So we've got three singles out on streaming platforms, downloading platforms now. So three songs from the album. We've got the next single coming out September 15th. And then a couple more at the end of the month. So, you know, you can go to Spotify. You can follow me there. You can go to my website, brucehumphries.com. That gives you the info on, you know, how to purchase the CD through us or the vinyl through us. You know, that goes through Bandcamp. So that's another place. If you just Google Bruce Humphries and the Rockabilly Rebels, or just Bruce Humphries, you know, I can't, you know, things will come up. I can't be responsible if there's anything bad that comes up about Bruce Humphries or Bruce Humphries and the Rockabilly Rebels, but yeah, you could Google us. I think we're all,
good.
You know, parental safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. This has been really cool, Bruce, hearing about your story, and I love rockabilly music. It's I was a big fan of the Stray Cats when they came out, and really just kind of began to dig deep into that genre of, and so I'm so glad that it's still a category of music that people embrace, and I sure wish you the best with it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for having us on, you know, on here, because you know, you doing what you're doing helps keep it alive too. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, glad to do it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.